We'll take this time to thank that you're here. As you can see, we have lots of empty spaces this morning. I just finished looking at everything. I think this is the first time since I've been here. We've got 35 missing and 25 here. So it's easy to tell you who's here than who's not here. So please take note about those empty seats if you are not here so we can check on them and make sure there's anything we can do for them. During the last few months, I have been trying to bring about some lessons, concerning about lessons that we can learn and benefit from during the pandemic. Now, for the first few weeks, I've been dealing with things like faith and talking about providence and talking about adversity and tribulation and trial, and talking about the power of prayer and trusting God and His sovereignty and the love that God has for us. And I've really tried to emphasize in the first number of lessons, I've tried to emphasize the advantages that we have as we live as Christians. But today's lesson, I want to emphasize a danger. The danger that I see, and I'm not talking about anyone here, but I'm talking about something that I perceive by the things that I hear, the things that I observe, and the statements that are made by people who claim to be Christians and claim that they have faith and trust in God. I want to take your Bible out, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be looking today at the context and also the application of verses 19 through 34. And we're going to be looking at the subject of overcoming fear and anxiety. There is no doubt that this coronavirus has upended our lives. We have been faced with things, and whether we understand them or not, in just another week or so, we're going to be in a year. We're going to be a year that we've been dealing with this since the end of January of 2020. And so none of us, when this thing began, thought that we would still be in the situation that we find ourselves in 2021. And yet, we are, except I think we're in a much better place today than we were a year ago. Today, we know what the virus does. We know how to combat it. We have therapeutics that we have found out through time and through using them over a period of time. We have understood it better, we can attack it better. In the beginning, those who are over 70, their chance of survival, if they caught it, was very, 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 very low, that if they got it, they probably would not survive. That has changed today. There is a 74% survival rate of people that catch this virus over the age of 75. That was not so a year ago. We also have vaccines now that are beginning to be distributed to the frontline workers, to those in care facilities, and soon to those in assisted living facilities. And if all goes as they plan, it will be given to the general public and be available in the spring. At least that is the hope in the latter part of March and the early part of April. Now again, all that's good news. And all that should make us look at this a little bit more positively than we did and we have over the period of time we've been dealing with it. But we also need to understand that there's much about this disease we know nothing, we don't know any more about now than we did a year ago. And the most frustrating thing to every one of us sitting in this audience, and to most of the people in our not just in our world, in our country, but all over the world, is that there is so much information that is given out about this disease that is just patently false. It's not true. And every time it's been proven to be not true. And that's one of the frustrating things about it. We really don't know everything that we ought to know about it in order that we can trust what we hear and know that what we hear is accurate. It depends on who you read after. It depends on who you listen to. It depends, because you just take a look in our own country. Every state is handling this different. Everywhere out to, because every state is not the same. But there are those who are taking an extreme position, and there are others that are much more lax. Again, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I'm not an expert, not, I don't know. I have to trust what I'm told. That's all I can do. I can read and I can study and I can make the best decision I can make. That's all I can do. That's all you can do. But in the meantime, what does it present to us? Well, what it does is it presents anxiety and fear in our lives. And the anxiety can cause many physical problems beyond the virus. Anxiety can cause you ulcers and give you high blood pressure. And high blood pressure can lead to a stroke. It can lead to heart problems. It can lead to sustained substance abuse. If you do any reading, there's been a large number of people who've died of drug overdose, higher than normal, during this time of this pandemic. The suicide rate is up. It's even up in younger people than what it has been in the past. All of these are issues that have been generated because of the virus, because of the lockdown, because of the regulations and the restraints that's been put on us by government and by the situation. And all of this anxiety causes other physical problems that we're not even dealing with. Brother, we even got people putting off medical problems that are real medical problems because they're afraid to go to the hospital. And in some places, that's probably well-founded, that they shouldn't go. But it's putting things off that don't need to be put off, that has to do with health issues that are unrelated to the virus. And all of it is causing great anxiety and fear to grip a large segment of our society. Now again, I don't want to underestimate, and I don't want anybody to conclude that I think that I've got friends that think this all is a hoax. I got friends that think all of this is just not real. Well, people that believe that, the facts would be against you. This is real. That there is a real problem. There is a virus, and it's deadly. To certain ages and to certain parts of our society, it is absolutely lethal. That's a fact. There's no getting around it. 350,000 people. Now, I know that's just maybe about 1% of our population, but tell that to the people who've lost somebody in that 350,000. That's a real number. And so we need to respect this virus. We need to respect what it can do. And we need to respect others in how we deal with it. That's just a fact. But does that mean that I should live in fear and in anxiety? Because that will cause other problems. And it doesn't only cause physical problems, it also can result in spiritual problems. It can cause us to have more doubt. It can cause us to be distracted. It can cause us to be angry or bitter because we're going through it, or because people don't see it the way I see it, or because people don't deal with it the way I deal with it. And so I become angry and I become bitter and I lose all the joy in my life. I have no peace. Because I'm worried constantly. I'm worried about people I love getting it. I'm worried about me getting it. I'm worried about what will happen if I get it. I'm worried about the results of if I get it. And then you can even feel the sense of hopelessness, that you really have lost sight and you, you begin to think about that there's really no hope. Now, brother, these things are real. These things are not imaginary. These things are happening. We have people that are doubting their faith. We have people that are distracted and they're not thinking about God. They're solely putting all of their effort and their energy on worrying about that they're going to die, that they're going to get this virus. And then they're angry and bitter at people that don't do what they think they ought to do. Brethren, every one of you in this audience know that this is a fact. It's not just a fact in the world, it's a fact in this congregation. Because we all don't look at it the same way. We all don't feel about it the same way. That's a fact. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to conquer? Are we going to divide? Are we going to have ill will feelings towards people that don't agree to do what I want to do or how I want to happen? Or are we going to allow it? Are we going to allow a temporal problem to cause a permanent problem in the Lord's church? Brethren, as I just told you a minute ago, if that happens, it won't be the pandemic's fault. It will be our fault. And so, what I want to do in this lesson is I don't think any of us should be operating under fear. Brethren, I don't want the virus, but I'm not afraid to die. I'm not going to go out there and welcome the virus into my life, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep other people from getting it. But I'm not going to live my life in fear that I'm going to die, that my life's going to end. Because you know what? I'm not living for here. This is not what I'm living for. I'm living for something better. But that doesn't mean I don't take it serious. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to do everything I can to protect people I love and people I love and care about. I'm going to do that. But I'm not going to let fear grip my life and stop living. And let it take every bit of happiness out of my life. I'm not going to do that. Because I believe that's a faith problem. That's a trust problem. And that's what I want us to avoid. I want us to avoid allowing it to destroy happiness in our lives. Brethren, it's interrupted our lives. No doubt about it. It's caused us to live and do things that we never thought we'd have to do. It's disrupted our life. No doubt about that. But let's not make it worse than it already is. And that's what I'm concerned about. What is the cure for fear and anxiety? Well, in Psalms chapter 56, verse 3 and 4, the psalmist wrote, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just going to talk about me for a minute. I don't think I've ever prayed and trusted God more than I do now. I trust God. I lean on God. And I believe God is watching over me and watching over my family. Now, I've had family catches. My mother is in a very vulnerable place, and she caught it. I prayed every day she never would. Still pray that my dad won't catch it. But she got it. And then I prayed for God to help her survive it. And she did. My grandson got it. And he survived it. I had an uncle in Arkansas. He's been quarantined 4 times. He's been in quarantine for 40 days at 4 different times for 10 days each time because he was exposed to someone who got it. And he still hasn't got it. Every time he's tested negative. And with him, he has a lung issue. He's 77 years old. He is exactly the person I don't want to get it because it could take his life because of his pre-existing health condition. But He's not living in fear either. You do what you can. You do what we understand the best course to do. That's all we can do. But after we've done all that we can do, should we still worry? Should we still have anxiety? Should we still be fearful? Not if we're a child of God. Brethren, before this happened, and again, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. We had 80,000 people last year die by the flu. We didn't stop living. Now, the flu is way down. Man, it's way down this year. I mean, everything I read, man, they're just absolutely amazed. I'm not amazed. I just think the virus has taken over what the flu did. But we had 80,000 people in our country die of the flu last year. We didn't stop living. We didn't live in fear. Again, we need to put things in perspective. Now take your Bible out, and I want you to follow along, and I want to read this text because it is germane to what we want to talk about today, about how we manage fear and anxiety and uncertainty in difficult times. And brethren, that's what we're in. And brethren, we're not just in difficult times with the pandemic. We're in difficult times in our country. The condition of our country is scary right now in the things that are going on. And if you focus on all this, and you know what? Let me give you a piece of advice today. Turn your TV off a little. Don't consume yourself with what's going on politically. If you do, it'll destroy you. You'll have no happiness in your life. You need to tune it out. Now, listen to what Jesus. Now, Jesus is the one who gave this sermon. And he dealt with this directly about anxiety and fear that can be introduced into our life. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, beginning in verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves nor break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life." I want you to listen to the rest of this text. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not your life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory will not be arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what we shall eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But first seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient is the day for its trouble. Now, in this context, Jesus is talking about the needs that we have in our lives. Now you say, well, he's talking about food and shelter and clothing. Yes, but he's talking about life in general. God knows what we need. God knows that we need that this virus will harm us, that it will not invade us personally. God knows that we want to have good health. We want good health for the people we love. We want good health for the people that we care about. We all want that. And God knows that's what we need. But we also live in the world. And we're subject to all the things the world's subject to. And we're not put in a protected bubble as a Christian that the things that happen in the world won't happen to us. Unfortunately, every one of us in this audience know by human experience during this time, we've all had people we love and know have been touched by this. We're not in a bubble. It can affect us, and it does affect us. But how do we handle it? How do we deal with it? Where is our heart, our focus, and our loyalty? Are our priorities on things that will last? There are two categories that all of your life revolves around. It's the things that are temporary, and it's the things that are eternal. Your possessions, your pleasure, your glory, your self-interest, other people. Every one of us have these things in our lives. And we emphasize one of these roles or the other. We either are putting our emphasis on the temporary things, or we're putting our emphasis on the eternal things. We all make these choices. Nobody makes them in my life but me. Nobody makes them in your life but you. But every one of us in this audience, where our heart is, where our focus is, where our loyalty is, we determine that. And we determine how we handle these things in our lives. And every one of us are going to have to handle how we deal with this pandemic. We're all going to have to make decisions about it. And we've been making decisions about it now for over a year. And we're all going to have to handle it the way that we see best and we think is best. But the question is, if we prioritize and focus on and pursue the things of the world, we will destroy our faith. And we'll destroy our relationship with God. Take your Bible out and turn to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 through 22, the Bible says, "But he received the seed on the stony places was he that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns are he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Materialistic attitudes can blind your faith. You can be blinded by a inordinate pursuit of material things. You can be blinded by adversity, fruitlessness. Your life doesn't produce anything profitable spiritually. And then in verse 25 through 34 that we've already read, you become anxious. Brethren, this virus is going to do what it's going to do. But it can't destroy happiness in my life. It can't destroy the faith and the trust I have in God. It doesn't have the ability to do that. The only one that can cause it to do that is me. The virus doesn't have that kind of power. It never has. It never will. It can only affect the person that way if they allow it to. Now, you need to respect it. You need to do the things you can to protect yourself and your family. And you need to do that. But after you've done that, that's all you can do. Now, do I just get in my home and I'm just going to barricade it and I'm not going to get out to make sure that it doesn't invade my family? Some people will make that decision. That's their decision. That's something that they're going to have to answer for. That may not be the decision that I make. It may not be the decision you make. But brethren, where does faith and trust in my duty to God come in this? Is it on hold now because of the pandemic? Is my responsibility and duty to God, do I just put it on hold now? That I don't have to worry about it now? That I could just exempt myself from those things now because of the virus? What's the right answer to that? You know what? I'm not going to tell you. You got to determine that. But all of us can answer that question. And I'm going to tell you, all of us have already answered it. Every one of our people in our congregation have faced that question. And they have to answer it to the best that they see. And you know what? I'm not going to judge them. They make their judgment, I'll make mine. And I'm going to love them, I'm going to support them, and I'm going to help them. Even if it's not what I think they ought to do, or they're not doing what I do. But then I don't want them to judge me either. That I don't love them, I don't care about them, because I don't do the same thing they do. We all got to do what we think's best. But none of us, no matter how we affect this, however we handle this, brethren, can we allow our life to be controlled by fear, by anxiety, or lack of trust and faith in God? If we allow it to do that, then we're not handling it correctly. Now let me say that again. If we allow that to destroy our trust and faith in God, we are not handling this the way we should. There's two people that know the answer to this. You do, and God does. And that's why I'm not going to judge it. Because I'm not God. You're not God. But I can draw some conclusions. If we allow fear and anxiety to grip us and paralyze us, for us not to move, that's a problem. Because that is not the way a Christian should handle it. An unbelieving, divided heart produces doubt, guilt, fear, and anxiety. Whatever happens, it's not going to change my relationship with God. However this comes out, I have not lost any faith and trust in God any time during this pandemic. And I didn't lose it when my mom got it. I didn't lose it when my grandson got it. And I didn't lose it when people that I care about lost loved ones. I didn't lose my faith and trust in God. I still have it. And I'll have it when it's over. Because nothing's going to shake that. Because I know that is something I can that's something I can hold on to. That's something that has the ability to see me through it. An unbelieving heart leaves one unequipped and unable to face the problems of life without confidence, contentment, hope, and peace. Brethren, this virus may kill me. It might do it. But I'm not going to live in fear of it doing it. If it comes my lot, by everything I'm doing and Rita and I are doing to try to protect ourselves and our best to protect others, and I still get it, I'll have to deal with it. And it could kill me. I know that. But am I going to live in fear of that? You know, a lot of things can kill me. I could get killed getting in my car. I got AFib, and if I listen to, you know, these commercials they put on TV, and you know, I got a real mild case of AFib, but I'm watching TV the other day, and in one of the medical companies that tried to push one of their medics. He goes, do you know if you have AFib, you have 10 times more likely possibility to have a stroke? Well, thank you for telling me that. It depends on how bad it is. And it depends on a lot of other factors about an individual. See, but if somebody says that, what am I going to do? Am I going to hold up because I could have a stroke? Or am I going to do what the doctor says to, in order to deal with it, which I've been dealing with for, 22 years now? And, am I just going to go on with my life and do what he tells me to do, go and get my checkup every year? And, that's what I'm going to do. Am I going to quit living? Am I going to live in fear because I could have a stroke? I'm going to do the best I can. All of us, that's what we do. We do the best I can. I know Brother Bruce has stents in his heart. Is he going to quit living? You do what you can. Brother Donnie has one lung. He does what he can. We all have our issues. We take the precautions. We do what we're told. We take the medicines that if they help us. And we deal with it. But we don't quit living. You haven't quit living because of that. Now, you're going to quit living because you might get this virus? Now, I understand people that have other conditions, and I'm in that class. AFib's a condition. I'm in that class, so I should maybe treat, and I do treat this thing differently because of that. I got my kids on me all the time. They worry about me more than I worry about myself. But I'm not going to allow it to grip me, where I can't breathe, where I can't move, where I lose the happiness and joy in my life because of something that I did not bring into my life. That's the challenge we face, brethren. That's the challenge all of us face. Let me define something for you. Jesus is not demanding that we ignore the problem. Brethren who use the argument, I've got brethren I take great issue with. I got a fellow in northern Indiana who is an elder in a church, and he thinks, this is a big hoax, and he doesn't want to do anything to protect anyone. That's ignorance. That's foolishness. Let me tell you how foolish it is. This elder and another elder decided they would have a meeting back in the midst of the beginning of the pandemic. They have the meeting. The preacher who held the meeting got the virus. And he had a young wife with a year-old son. And then they had a potluck. And 8 people got the virus. That's stupidity. That's not respecting what's going on. We had a meeting scheduled for April. We canceled it. We had one in September. We canceled it. Why? That was the appropriate thing to do. That was the appropriate thing to do to protect us and to protect the other people. That was right. Now, we're going to have to make a decision here in a few months about our spring meeting in May. We're going to have to make a decision about that. We may make the decision. We can have it, but it will just be for us. And we won't advertise it. And we'll still do the things that we're doing now. We might decide to do that. But I'll guarantee you one thing we won't do if things continue like they are now. We're not going to have a potluck. If things continue as they are now, would you feel safe? Would the majority of us feel safe? Probably not. So why would we do that? Why take an unnecessary risk? Now, brethren, I'm not saying, and Jesus is not demanding, that we ignore the problem. But he's also telling us not to stop living. Material things have no meaning, part or purpose in our lives. But you know what? We need them to live. Maybe you would not like to go out, but you know what? Even if you try to protect yourself, you still got to make a living. You still got to provide for your family. Let me just give you an example. And again, I'm not complaining, but I want you to think about this. During this time of this virus, many of our brethren have taken different various things, how they deal with this. I haven't missed a day here. I've been here every day during this virus. I haven't missed a time in the pulpit till last time I was, just last week when I went to check on my folks. What if I took the position that others have taken and just decided that it's too dangerous and I don't come? I don't have that luxury because I have a job to do. And my job doesn't stop because of the pandemic. Now, brethren, I'm not complaining and I'm not questioning anyone that takes a different position. But we need to understand that other people have to make decisions that I can't make, that I can't do because of what I do and what my responsibilities are. And I'll do them and I'll continue to do them. And I believe that's why God watches over me. But brethren, we need to understand that everybody has to do what they have to do. And I'm not going to judge somebody because they don't do what I do. Jesus is not forbidding legitimate concerns. Brethren, I'm concerned about the virus. I don't want any of you to get it. And when Brother Sims got it and when Sister Howard got it, I prayed fervently that they recover. But you know what? I know that they did what they thought they did to protect themselves, and they still got it. Brother Sims, in the job that he has as a funeral director, you got to have social distancing. You got to limit the number of people that come to the funeral. You can't go into the common areas. Everybody's got to wear a mask. He did all that, and he still got it. He still got it. You can do everything you can do, but you can still get the virus. That's just a fact. No way of getting around it. That's a fact. We need to understand that all we can do is the best we can. That's all we can do. Thoughtful planning. You know, I had to go up to watch over, to check on my folks. They're both in nursing homes, as you know. See our kids. They haven't seen our kids since the fall. And you know what? We have friends in other places that we would have liked to see. We haven't seen in a year. We didn't go. We didn't go to a church service. Matter of fact, I watched Brother Lee last Sunday. Last Sunday, I watched Brother Lee's service and watched another brother in a Bible study. We didn't go because, number one, I didn't want the congregation. Well, one reason we didn't go, two of the places we were going to go, they weren't meeting because they had a problem with the virus a couple weeks ago. So the elders of that congregation decided not to meet for a couple weeks. But I wouldn't have gone anyway because I'm from another state. I don't want those brethren to worry because I'm coming in from another state that maybe I'm bringing the virus and put them at ease. I'm not going to do that. And then we didn't go see other people because we wanted to limit the people we would be around so we would not put anybody at risk or put ourselves at risk to come back and put you at risk. We thought about that. And we took precautions to make sure that we just went around people in our family. And then when we didn't meet together again, whether that was how it worked out, we weren't going to be here again for 6 days after we come home. But it ended up being 10 because of circumstance that happened after we left. You know, you make thoughtful planning. You think about other people, you do that. But that's all we can do. In northern Indiana, it's much different than it is here. It's much the percentage is much different. Should I not go see my kids? Should I not check on my family? Should I just hole up here and let my brothers take care of that? No, brethren, I got a responsibility. I got a duty. I take all the precautions I can, and I do the best I can. I can't stop living and doing my responsibility. And you know what? Neither can you. Efforts to make things better. You know what I've been praying since February? For this virus to die. I've been praying that every day since February. I'm still praying. Not just for us, but for the whole world. It's not just affecting us. It's affecting everybody in the world. You know, and I've heard many, many people make statements about why we got it. You know, maybe the Lord's punishing us. Maybe the Lord says, you know what? Maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he's trying to get us to recognize what we're doing in the direction that we're going in. I believe all the things that have been going on, the pandemic, the civil unrest, the political climate, I think all of that better wake this country up. It better do something to wake us up in what we're doing and the direction we're going, because we're just thumbing our nose at God and we think that that's not going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect. At some point, God's going to answer that. God's not going to let that go on forever. And so, in conclusion this morning, brethren, I'm not telling you how to deal with this. I'm not telling you got to do A, B, C, and D. But I am telling you, if you're handling this and not trusting God and living in fear and having all the peace and joy out of your life, then your faith and trust is not what it ought to be in God. You can't quit living because of the pandemic. You have to take it seriously. You have to take the precautions. You have to deal with the way you think you need to deal with it. But you need to not allow it to steal your faith, your trust, and your hope in God. Because it can only do that if you allow it to. Brethren, let's not make this worse than it has to be. Let's not make this more difficult than it has to be. Let's put our faith and our trust in God and move forward, because that's the best course to pursue. Please take your psalm books out and turn to page 276. If there's anyone here this morning that needs the prayers of the church on your behalf for encouragement, to correct anything in your life, if there's anything we can do to help you, we bid you to come forward as together we stand as we sing.